social conservatism was really bringing me down. And I realized as time went on, I wasn't a Bush conservative. I was really a libertarian.
You know what our motto here at Alternative Nation is? Win with dick. We've been saying it for years.
Christianity makes you feel guilty for, you know, just being a person.
Well, so does the environmental movement. It makes you feel, or Peter or something like that, I mean.
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, it's like, you're not a woman. You're a lizard walking around with a stolen genital.
I was actually persecuted in an article for not being enough of a feminist because I stood up for individuals' rights.
Hi, I'm Tim Cavanaugh for Reason TV. We are here with Kennedy, America's sweetheart, TV and radio icon, and currently morning host at 98.7 FM in LA.
That's right.
Welcome, Kennedy.
Well, thank you, Tim Cavanaugh. It's wonderful to be here. I'm a huge fan of Reason and Reason TV.
You're a self-described libertarian.
Yes.
Known as a conservative back in the day.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about your own political evolution.
Well, it's like being bisexual, but everyone pins you as gay. And then you realize, like, no, wait, I'm so much more complex than that. I'd really like to sample from a greater section of the menu. And that's what I realized, because the social conservatism was really bringing me down. And I realized as time went on, I wasn't a Bush conservative. I was really a libertarian. And I realized that fairly early at MTV through my own political self-exploration. And it's wonderful to have come out as a libertarian.
Still. The thing that's been bothering you lately is the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. New rules around California medical marijuana users. Can you explain quickly what the new, you know, what the new rulemaking is? I'm not sure we can even call it a rule because it seems to be totally unconstitutional.
No, it's a suggestion, but it puts gun sellers in a really bad position because, you know, here they are sandwiched in between this federal suggestion from the ATF and the state laws, which say that people in California, because of Proposition 215 in 1996, the Compassionate Use Act, people can possess, cultivate, go to marijuana dispensaries. If they have a legitimate prescription, they can go in and get medical marijuana. But now the ATF is telling gun sellers, do not sell guns to these people because they are using illicit drugs, because it's still illegal on the federal level.
It seems to me the ATF does not have the authority to give such an order, but I mean, it's at this point, none of it has been litigated or anything like
that. No, I mean, it's criminal. It's insane.
Yeah.
And you can't just take aspects of the Constitution and modify them willy-nilly to fit what you think is a correct moral purpose.
It hasn't gotten a lot of attention. I don't know, did the LA Times even write anything about it?
No, I didn't read about it in the LA Times. I read about it in the SACB.
That's one of those areas where nobody in the media cares if nobody's allowed to get a gun. They don't want anybody to get a gun in the first place.
Yeah, screw them all.
Right. This is not just for dispensary owners, but this is actually
for patients
as well.
But it's okay for Eric Holder and the rest of the United States government to funnel weapons to Mexican drug lords. That's okay.
Yeah.
But God forbid law-abiding citizens in this country would want to have the choice to protect themselves.
Yeah. You were part of, was it the second generation of VJs?
It's actually called the third wave. Because the first generation was
Martha Quinn.
Martha, J.J. Jackson, Mark Goodman, Alan Hunter, Nina Blackwood. And then the second wave was Adam Curry, Kevin Seal, Downtown Julie Brown, and the redheaded Julie Brown. And then my generation, it was Bill Bellamy, John Cencio, Daisy Fuentes, Jenny McCarthy. I was in there.
Okay.
There was a little-known comic from New York who was a VJ for a summer at the MTV Beach House. This guy was completely broke, and he used to go out to the beach house even when he wasn't scheduled to work, just so he could stay somewhere for free and eat free food. His name was John Stewart. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
I have heard of that guy. Yeah. No, and I remember him. For years, I continued to associate him with MTV after he had sort of become famous for other stuff. You were kind of a controversial person at the time. You were at one point voted the most hated VJ.
Yeah.
I believe you have currently a 63% on Am I Annoying? So
that's great.
Yeah, I mean, how much of that was political? Because it did seem, even you actually hit at MTV when I was in my too good for TV of any kind mode. But You know, I got the sense that it was like...
You were just surrounded by your books.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was sort of controversial to be, you know, in favor of the Republicans at
the
time.
Yeah, no, it really was. And it was something that was cute until it became more serious. And for example, in 1996, the Dole campaign reached out to me at the end of the campaign, because they, right before the election, they were doing the 96 Hours to Victory tour. And so they were kind enough to invite me on the private plane. And those who didn't know within his inner circle, who didn't know that I had been invited, thought that I was part of the liberal press trying to infiltrate. And a woman tried to physically block me from getting on the plane with Chichi Rodriguez and the Oak Ridge Boys. And then she realized, oh, no, wait, she's one of us.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And but when that happened, MTV, they kind of cracked down. And there was actually, I was the only person who had a clause in my contract that I had to get network approval before I uttered a word about politics to the press.
When you think about working in the entertainment industry, and we're in LA right now, why is it so hard? And to some extent, I think conservatives might exaggerate how, you know, tough it is to have different politics in Hollywood. But what's your own impression?
Well, clearly I'm a minority, and I'm also a woman, and also a conservative or libertarian, however you'd like to identify. That's fine. You know, it's your choice. And of all of those things, being conservative is the most professionally damning. You have to work much harder against that type, because there are people who will truly discount your talent, your ability, your connections, your persistence. They will discount all of that if they think that you do not fit into a certain political box.
Yeah.
Because if you are a liberal, you're in, you know, there is something implicit. There is an implicit trust in there. And if you are outside of that, it means that you're difficult or you're an evangelical.
You've been in the alt-rock universe most of your career, right?
Yeah.
You were Alternative Nation. 98.7 is, it's, you know, what is still known as alternative rock.
Yeah.
That sort of came out of punk. It's, you know, I mean, it sort of, there was punk and then what was known as college rock in the late 80s with like Firehose and all these kinds of bands. Talk a little bit about the politics of the alternative universe. Danny Elfman these days describes himself as a Democrat, but if you listen to early Oingo Boingo, it was all full of these songs like Capitalism and Only a Lad that were super right-wing songs.
Yeah. Same with SOD, Stormtroopers of Death. I mean, you could argue that they were very conservative.
Yeah. So what do you think the politics of alt-rock, as opposed to, you know, just sort of top 40 or what they were reacting against, which was just kind of, you know, 70s full-on-a-stool type rock?
It's really interesting because I think a lot of the intellectuals in that genre are iconoclasts. And, you know, the icons in rock are leftists. And they don't even want to be pigeonholed there because it's very boring. Like, you don't want to be told what you are. You don't want to be defined by someone else based on what your peers may think. So it's much more fun to shoot down everything, you know, whether it's corporations or the government. And, you know, the government, the man, if you're talking about intrusive government, it's like you're automatically a libertarian.
What's the current state of alt-rock?
Well, it's interesting because kids think that music is free now. And that's a problem because, you know, with Spotify and all the different apps and programs that there are and websites, you can essentially listen to whatever you want at any time for free. And not a lot of people buy music. People will talk about buying music in a self-reverential way, the same way they talk about writing handwritten letters. Like, well, I actually buy my music. It's like, wow, what a fine, upstanding citizen you are. So a lot of bands offer free downloads of their record, but then they'll sell them for, you know, name your own price. Radiohead has done it, Nine Inch Nails has done it. Plenty of bands have done it, and they've realized that DIY, which is the old punk rock model, you know, Minor Threat and Fugazi, that was the way that a lot of the DC bands operated for a long time, and it's the only way anyone's going to make money. You have to own your own content. You have to own your own music. You have to be in charge of the vertical integration of your band.